what an amazing time. I think one of the biggest things we got out of that conference was purely confirmation on what we're doing. We're not running 3,000 or 3,500 kids, but with what we're running, we're doing the same thing that they talked about doing. And so I feel very good about what we have, what we're having here. I mean, teenagers filling the chairs. I love that. And you guys didn't see it because you're all facing up this way, but sitting at the piano, I looked out when we were singing one of the songs, and almost every single person in this front row had their eyes closed and were just singing. And I love that, and I thank you guys for that. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, we just ask for your grace and your mercy on us. We come experience pain and suffering in our lives, betrayal, humiliation in our lives. And we just ask that you remind us today of the betrayal and humiliation and the brutal pain and suffering of our son, of your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sacrifice that he made for us so we may find salvation and hope in serving you as your son did on the cross. He served you until the end, Father. And we just thank you for that. Lord, help us to meet people today and where they are, in the hurt in their life, that we come down and we meet them where they are in their life today so that we have something to offer them. Whether it be lost love, health issues, broken families, loneliness, helplessness, Lord. Allow us to minister to them, every person in here, to minister to one another, to offer friendship, companionship, fellowship. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen. My wife passed along something on email, and many of you guys may have sent it to her or seen it, but I thought, no better Sunday than today to tell it. It was a Palm Sunday, and the family's six-year-old son had to stay home from church because of strep throat. When the rest of the family returned home carrying the palm branches, you've seen some of the younger kids today have the palm branches. The little boy asked, what were they there for? And his mother explained to him, people held these up over Jesus' head and fanned him as he walked by. And of course, the little boy, disappointed, said, wouldn't you know it? The one Sunday I don't go to church, Jesus shows up today. Okay, that's a great place to start. I like that. I'm going to come down here, as I like to do. Palm Sunday. Last week we talked about what was going through the mind of Jesus as he was going to the cross. And today we're going to continue that. This starts the beginning of Holy Week. How many of you from last week have thought about your pacifier? Jack spoke of it last week. How many thought about your pacifiers this past week? How many of you thought about the nail you have up there, just keeping there for Satan to hang his stuff on, for the dead, rotting carcass? How many of you thought about the nail? And I love to see kids think about it, our teens to think about it. That means you heard and you listened. Talk about dead animals, that probably got your attention, and then you perked up. How many of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about? The nail and the pacifier. That's okay. You didn't know? There's good news today. We have CDs and cassettes available. And just so you guys know, we now have CDs available of each message also. There's not a cost to them anymore. They're free to you to take to somebody, to send to somebody. If you feel it's going to bless somebody, stop by, get a CD, get a cassette so that you can bless somebody with those messages. I thought about the pacifier, let me tell you, and the nail all week long. Thank you, Jack, for that message. Many of us thought about it and we talked about it. Today we're going to continue looking at that. Everybody who's got their swords with them today, hold them up. Hold up your swords high. I mean, no sense in having a sword and holding it down here. By the time you get to protect yourself, they've already nailed you. So hold it up high. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you guys will turn to Matthew 21, we've got a lot of scripture reading today. And go to Matthew 21, verse 1 is where we'll start. Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. Traditionally, this day commemorates Jesus coming into Jerusalem, the people laying their clothes, the people waving the palm branches or different branches they had to that for him as he entered into that. And we're going to read this somewhat lengthy passage. Go into the village opposite you, and immediately, and I'm sorry, this is chapter 21, verse 1. Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. And we talked about that last week. Teenagers, what if somebody took a, you know, went up to your car and said, hey, my master has need of these? Okay, you probably wouldn't give that up willingly. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples did as he said and went, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great magnitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude went before them, and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Many times we talk about the celebration of Easter and the celebration of Palm Sunday, and we want to celebrate those as joyous occasions, but this really is the beginning of the end of Jesus. And this really is the beginning of quite an agonizing week for Jesus. There's glory at the end of that, but that's agonizing in the beginning. Many of us felt the same things Jesus felt during this next week. Okay, we felt aggravation, frustration, anger, questioning, accusations, testing of us, betrayal, mocking, humiliation. Has anybody felt that in the last week, any of those things? Okay, I expect to see about 80 hands go up. Oh, okay, some are going up higher now. Some people went, yeah, me. Jesus went through the same thing. And when we went to acquire the fire several weeks ago, they said, man, if you guys are feeling this, pull yourself out for just a minute and put yourself in the place of Jesus and what he went through. You know, if somebody makes fun of my bald head, I'm okay with that. Let me put it in perspective. What did Jesus go through? Bald head means nothing. Jack talks quite frequently about choices we have. Jesus Christ had choices. We have choices every day. How do you feel when you've had an accomplishment? You got a new job. You got a promotion. You graduated school. You graduated college. You've done something to promote or move yourself up. You got a new car. You got a new house. You got a new spouse. Or a spouse, sorry. You got a spouse. You got a new spouse, maybe. I don't know. You got a spouse. What I mean is you're married. You have a new baby. And when your family and friends come around, what do? Oh, that is beautiful. Oh, congratulations. And man, they pull you up here and they put you up on this pedestal. And you're up high and you're floating. Just like Jesus was when he came in. Everybody's crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. But what happens? We do the same thing in our life. They treat us like royalty. It feels great. And then what comes? Later. Later comes. What is later? It's later in the day. It's later that evening. It's later in the week. It's later in the month. It's later. And what happens? That same person you lifted up, you celebrated their victories, you congratulated, you honored them, all of a sudden you're cursing them. You're spitting on them. You're mocking them. You're humiliating them. You're making fun of them. You're aggravating them. How does it feel now? And this is your family and friends. Jesus had a whole multitude there. A very great multitude, it says. And guess what? A week later, less than a week later, the very great multitude that was honoring him and celebrating him coming into Jerusalem was shoving him aside. The same man that talked about commitment and serving. They pushed him aside. They had no use for him anymore. Anybody ever felt that way? From our spouse, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our relatives, our family. All of a sudden, we don't have a use for them. They've aggravated me. You curse them. Kick them aside. Get out of here. Jesus went through the same thing. So I challenge you guys, as you think about yourself sometime and as you treat other people, think what Jesus did. When Jesus came into Jerusalem and what he went through that next week. How do they change like that? What makes them honor you in 1 minute and an hour later curse you? What makes them change like that? How do they change like that? I think it's fear. It's also choices, fear and ignorance. But I think for Jesus it was mostly fear. The leaders, if you will, what they thought were leaders, got scared of his teachings, got scared of what he was bringing to them. And how many know when you've got a strong friend in your group and they start pushing something, everybody starts leaning that way. And then they push this way and they lean that way. You take a group of friends that grows up together and you've got one strong person. Jonathan, I'm just going to pretend it's you that's a strong person in the group that's a leader. And all of a sudden Jonathan says, hey, let's go steal some Cokes and stuff down at the store. Spencer says, no way. Jonathan says, come on, you chicken, let's do it. And then after a while of nudging, Spencer breaks. And that's what's so important. When we teach to the teens, that's what's so important, that every time you guys are faced with a choice, you know the right choice, but that you continue to make the right choice every time that same opportunity is offered. Whether it's in dating or stealing Cokes, smoking, doing drugs, drinking, every time that choice comes up, you may be 14 or 15 now. Say, no, I don't want to drink. But by the time you're 16, 17, 18, you may think, yeah, whatever. No big deal. But it's the same for the rest of us. It's the same for the rest of us. We have choices every day. It may not be illegal for us to drink, but we have a choice. Do we drink to excess? Do we not? But Jesus, when faced with all the things he went through, and I'm not going to go through everything he went through that week, but he faced all those things. Being questioned, being mocked, being humiliated. And in the middle of all that, he kept on doing one thing. Rex talked about it when he left Ground Zero a couple weeks ago. Being about my Father's business. And that's what Jesus focused on. In the middle of all that, he kept on being about his Father's business. If we flip over to John 13, and we're going to stay, I believe we're going to stay in John 13. Bounce back and forth there. But John 13, verse 5 through 17. Being about his Father's business, Jesus said, I'm here to serve, and I'm here to teach. He was there to make disciples. You guys may notice today as we played our music. I mean, this to me is what I think is great and what's important in the church, in growing the church. Rex was not playing the drums today. Tubbs was. Do we call you Tubbs or Scott? Scott. I didn't even know Scott's name for months, and he came to my house every day. I just knew him as Tubbs. I said, who's this Scott kid? You're going over to his house. That's Tubbs. Okay. Anyway, Tubbs is playing the drums. Tubbs is a talented drummer. And Rex, grooming him to learn how to pray for praise and worship. Chris wasn't here today. Andrew was on the bass. Sherry played the first two songs. Chris, when Jack was gone 2 weeks ago, Chris played the guitar. It's all about making disciples, teaching and educating and serving other people. And that's what's important. And that's what Jesus did up till he went to the cross. In John 13, 5 through 17, Jesus took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel from which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered to him and said, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered back, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." But Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Focus on that last line, if you will. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus talking about serving other people, washing the feet of his disciples. Then Jesus in teaching also, John 13, skip over to verse 34 and 35. Gives out the new commandment. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Again, making disciples, but teaching them. Serving them in one aspect, teaching them in another. On how to be disciples and how to make disciples. With all this stuff going on during that next week, do you think Jesus was bothered by that? Absolutely. John 13, 21 says, "When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit." So it's okay when we go through those things to be troubled by them. I'm troubled by them when I go through them. Jack's mentioned it many times. We don't want to stay there and wallow around in it. We want to pull ourselves up. Sometimes we're going to need a hand to pull us up because we're just stuck in it. And it's deep and it's thick and we need a hand. And we raise our hand and we want someone to pull us up. I'll tell you a story. One time, our family went to a lake when we were young, and my dad is a shorter man, pretty heavy set man, and he sat in a canoe. Okay, well, those canoes aren't very stable to begin with. So when he sat in it, and then my sister, you know, it's always the sister. The sister gets in, and of course that thing starts going like this, and over they go. So she falls in the water and she's screaming bloody murder, "Help me, help me." The water's only this deep. Sometimes all we need to do is put our feet down, stand up and pull ourselves up. But we just sit there in the sand and 12 inches of water going, "Help me, help me, I can't get up." Sometimes we need to put out our hand and say, "Help me up." And that's where pride gets in the way. And don't drown because of pride, because you don't want to stick your hand up and say, "I need help." And your feet are nowhere near the bottom. They're swinging and their bottom's nowhere near. And other times, we're in 12 inches of muck. All we need to do is roll over and stand up. And we're going, "Help me, help me." No one's passing by, and you just need to stand up on your own. Pull yourself up. It's okay to be troubled when you go through the things that Jesus went through. Pull yourself up out of it. Pull yourself up out of it sometimes. Jesus just kept pressing on, reminding himself it was not his will, but his Father's will. When he prayed, "Father, it's not my will, but your will." And that's the other thing. Whether we're deep in it and we need a hand, or we just need to help ourselves up, we need to constantly renew our mind to say, "Hey, it's not my will. It's the Father's will. I'm here to do my Father's work, be about my Father's business." I've only got 25 more pages, so don't worry. No, I'm just kidding. We heard up at the conference this weekend, and I love this when we talk about God's will and our will. No, you missed it. I'm sorry. It was in one of the things I was in. And he said, when you do God's will, everything lines up. Now, we may not see it right off the bat, but it lines up exactly with what God has planned. Okay? And it has to do with when we have ideas also. We have good ideas. That's our idea. And then there's God's ideas. And those are always great ideas. And there's God's way and the right way. And they're both the same. So remember that when you have a good idea, is it God's idea or is it your idea? And search those things out. Many of you guys may have been through this. I know it's not uncommon with older people. I would say it's probably very common, unfortunately, with teenagers. We've got friends or disciples, and they support us. But then what happens? Then they deny us. John 19, you don't have to flip there necessarily, but you can if you want. John 19, verse 12. Talks about Jesus going before Pilate. And I couldn't help but laugh when I was rereading this. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend." Anybody have about a 4, 5, 6-year-old that says that? Well, if you do that, you're not my friend. If you don't do that, you're not my friend. And here we've got a crowd of adults saying, if you do that, you are not his friend. Teenagers face that pressure in relationships. If you don't do this, you don't love me. I guess that's it. We're done. Anybody ever says that to you, be done with them. Be done with them. As Pilate should have done. Now think about Pilate. I mean, that's peer pressure for young people, but you've got a crowd in front of you. You've got the king standing up there, and the people screaming at you, if you let this man go, you are not a friend. You are not a friend of Caesar's. That's some major peer pressure. So we buckle to that. You guys may have had people turn on you. When the going gets tough, boop. Where's my friend? Where's my support? And I'm always be in that front seat right there. And man, no matter what, something happens, hey, and that front seat is empty. Where'd they go? It got a little too sticky for them. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. It got too sticky for some of the people to stick around. It got too sticky for some of his followers. I saw you hanging out with Jesus. Weren't you hanging out with Jesus? Yeah, that was him. And what did they say? No, not me. That wasn't me. I saw you down there. No, I was just passing by. And I know that's happened to some of you people out here. Aren't you their friend? No, no, they did this bad thing. Oh, no, they went to jail for this. Oh, no, they hurt their spouse. I don't know them. Oh, I just knew of them. They are a friend of a friend. And I get the feeling Jesus was a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend to many people. These same people cheering his victory. The same people putting you up on a pedestal. Congratulations. You graduated high school. Are now screaming, crucify him. Crucify him. The same people saying, now get out and get a job. You're on your own. That's happened to you guys. I know many of you have experienced that. Someone has lifted you up, and there's nothing worse than being lifted up and have that pedestal smashed out between you or beneath your feet. I used to have a boss that did that, you know. Hey, Adam, this is really great. And by the way, here's all your wrong stuff. 1 minute manager, that'll fix that stuff. That'll teach you how to do that in the right way. The journey leading to the cross was truly agonizing for Jesus. As he went through those things in that week, coming into the town and those people. Could you imagine if I just walked, what I wanted to just walk down this aisle and just prayed for someone to throw their coat so that I may walk on it. Maybe just wave a little branch. But it didn't happen. I'm no king. But I think what would be even worse is if you guys did that and then I got up here and y'all started booing me and throwing rotten food at me. Crucified on the cross, crying out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? A week of agony for Jesus Christ, knowing that that was the beginning of his end. There's a powerful thing over there on that cross. You walk over that cross and look on it. Look at it. Put your hand on it and touch it. There's power over there. I know some of you have felt it over there. Picture Jack walking up saying, guys, this is the last week I'm going to be with you. That'd be a sad day. Be sad for me. I know it'd be sad for you guys. You guys don't know where I'm going, but this is my last week with you guys. And then his supporters, the congregation. Could you imagine you guys turning on Jack? Say, man, Jack's a liar. He talks against things. He claims to be the Son of God. I mean, like saying, he claims to be a pastor. And then dragging him over to that cross. And I'm telling you, when you think about Jesus being crucified on that cross, if you stand right below that and think about that, that ought to shake you. Bring it closer to home. Picture people here dragging our pastor over to that cross and hanging him on that, and how you'd feel. In the final moments, Jesus' last few words, he said, it is finished. And he sent out his Spirit. Jesus didn't stop serving and teaching until the end. And part of that serving and teaching was saying, God, I know I was born to die. I know I was born to die so that others may live. As we close today, I want you guys to think about that week. Oh, it'll be a marvelous celebration next week. But today, Palm Sunday, was the beginning of an agonizing week for Jesus Christ. And if we don't stop and reflect on that, we cannot appreciate and enjoy the celebration we're going to have next week. The good news for Jesus Christ dying, in His death, He has given you life. Maybe you haven't accepted Jesus Christ before. John 3:16 gives you life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't know Jesus Christ, this was a great thing I got yesterday. Think of it like this. For God so loved, and insert your name there. For God so loved Dennis. For God so loved Jack. For God so loved Jonathan that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved each and every one of you that He gave His only begotten Son. Maybe you've already accepted Jesus Christ, but guess what? You've got struggles going on. Anybody got struggles going on? You say, I've got Jesus, but I still got struggles. Never promise to take them away. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. And then verse 18 goes on to say, I will not leave you orphans, or I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Sometimes all we have to do is listen, and God will tell you right where He's at. They sang a song this weekend. Lincoln Brewster was up there at 180. Awesome guitar player. Good singer, but awesome guitar player. And he sang a song, and it was about giving God 100%. I said, how many of you guys have given God 100%? I was kind of surprised to see several hands. He said, how many of you need to give Him 100%? And then the place went up. The place went up. He said, man, I thought I did. But then he thought about his son. He thought about his family. Oops. Are you willing to give up your family to God? I say, God, let Your will be done. And he said, I struggled with that. And we were praising and worshiping God, and he was singing. And I just remember closing my eyes and saying, God, what are you waiting for? And I thought, oh, what an idiot, Adam. God's waiting on me. It's Adam. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting on God to say, here, Adam, I come give you 100% of me, and I'll tell you. And I actually, I don't know if you heard me, Eric, but I said, God, what are you waiting for? And of course, one of those things you say, and you're like, oh, why'd I say that? You know, then I thought how stupid it was. God's waiting on me to make the next move. He's waiting on me. Nobody faced more trials than Jesus. Nobody faced more trials than Jesus. Now, there's many of you out here that may be runners up for that. But nobody faced more trials than Jesus. Over in James it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Today, as we face trials in life, let's try and agree not to let pride get in our way. Not to let pride hold us back. God has blessings for us, and we let pride get in the way because we don't want to say, hey, I'm not in 12 inches of water. I'm deep in it, and I need a hand up. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And God has plenty of grace to give you if you will just be humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. As we think about Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, serving, making disciples, teaching up until the end, let's make that be our focus as we remember Jesus Christ each day. How can I serve somebody else? How can I teach somebody else? What can I do for them? We did this last year, and I enjoyed doing it. It's an act of serving, and many of you appreciated it. And we're going to do it again this year. Eric, if you'll come up and help me. The Bible tells us to wash our hands. And rather than washing all your feet, I'd like this just to be kind of like communion. It's open to anybody and everybody. But I would like for you guys just to come up here as we close. And we'll just rinse your hands off. It's an act of cleansing yourself. Young people, adults, old, young, it doesn't matter.